zooming out, sifting through the wreckage, debating, checking in on the Suns, a midweek real or not real debate episode coming up right away for you on Locked On Suns.
Network, your team every day.
We are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, covering the Suns the past five seasons as a credentialed media member. Thanks for making Locked On Suns your first listen every single morning. No game to recap today, but that gives us plenty of time to zoom out. We are here again every single day for you here on YouTube, on your favorite podcast platform. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell the Suns fan in your life to subscribe to us on YouTube and listen along. We are building slowly, as I expected, over the course of the season. I think the finals loss cobwebs are being shook off, so I appreciate all of you. Damon Allred is here. He is a writer at Bright Side of the Sun, as well as Roll Call, and I love talking to Damon. We often get into... You're one of the only people, Damon, who I feel like... Maybe I'm not a gracious enough host, but people don't all often like to disagree with me. Maybe it's because these podcasts just snap along. They're only 30 minutes. People don't know where they can get in. But you, I mean this in the best way, are willing to combat me. So I appreciate that. And how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. It's always good to go back and forth every now and then, play a little bit Stephen A. Smith.
Exactly. I am the... Who would you be? Because they have this new cast on First Take. Which of these random panelists that they've assembled do you most closely associate with? Are you a Dan Orlovsky guy? You a Mina Kimes? Who are you? Which First Take character?
I like to model my style a little bit more after Mina than any of the other ESPN folks, just because I feel like she does such a good job of bringing like the hipster takes thoughts into the mainstream.
She just takes the internet's greatest hits, puts them through her own filter because she's a very smart person, and then regurgitates them in a way that somehow makes for awesome TV because she's more talented than all of us. I will take the Tim Tebow. Neither one of us is Stephen A. Smith. I'll be Tim Tebow. I'll do my best impression. We'll see if I can work some Florida talk, some faith talk into this conversation. We'll see where it goes. Before we get started, though, Chris Paul, today, 1 year anniversary of his trade, which I thought was insane, frankly. He has played 104 games for the Suns, including the playoffs, but not including the preseason, which is bonkers in one calendar year to play 104 basketball games. But I wanted to ask you this to get things started here. It's not a real or not real, which is going to be the main focus. We're going to hit basically every Suns star. We're going to hit some bigger picture topics on the team. We'll get to all of that. But I do have a question that is not a real or not real to start things off, which is we have this one calendar year of Chris Paul. Where does it rank among the like end of career Valley Sports acquisitions pantheon for you? Steve Nash, Carson Palmer, Kurt Warner, Randy Johnson, where we only have 1 year. It's not going to end, of course. We have more Chris Paul to go here, but where does this year of Chris Paul rank for you?
I think for me, it has to be number one, because so many people doubted it. So many people doubted it, and they pointed at the contract. They pointed at his age. But the dude is just one of the best basketball players of all time, frankly speaking. And he is continuing to prove that he's worth every penny that we pay him.
It feels hard to not have Randy Johnson at the top because he's the only man in sports who has given the Valley a ring. I mean, Diana Taurasi has done her best to help out in that category, but Randy Johnson is the only male sport athlete to do it. So I feel like he has to go at the top just because we are such a championship-starved city. But Steve Nash, I mean, there is a ton, and it's so strange. And it actually, because I am the Tim Tebow of our conversation, I'm a TV professional, YouTube professional, and I wanted to transition right from there because Chris Paul, to me, his season this year has felt very Nashian, just in terms of the... He's leading the league in assists. He just looks incredibly comfortable. I don't mean that their styles are necessarily similar, although they kind of are, but more so just year two here, he just feels poised and confident. And you've seen that with some of the younger bad teams that the Suns have beat up on lately, just messing with them. I mean, Usman Garuba is never going to live down what happened to him on his home court the other night. And I think that's been what's so much fun about this season for him. So my real or not real is just this vintage version of Chris Paul. Do you buy that we might be getting a more sort of energized and balanced guy on the floor for the Suns? I mean, we got a player that got MVP votes last year, so by no means was he bad last season, but he just feels to have reached another level of comfort this year. Do you think he might have a little bit more juice this season because of that?
Yeah, I think he's taken a lot of his scoring load off for his own sake, just trying to avoid less situations where you're putting stress on your body, trying to get other guys involved. And I think it's really going to depend on how well Mikhail and the Cams and to an extent Ayton as well, how well those guys can pick up the usage load as to how long we'll see this from Chris Paul, as opposed to him just going back to when his fourth quarter, I will be the assassin and just kill every team from the mid range.
Do you think they need to get, do you think it should be more of a priority to get his minutes down? He's actually so far averaging more minutes per game than he was last year. I know Payne was hurt for a while, so that didn't help, but do you think that should be more of a priority? Do you worry about that? Or do you think it's like one of those things where you can't necessarily plan for injuries 6 months from now and you kind of just roll with the punches?
Yeah, I mean, they've really tried to put in an emphasis of let's end the game in three quarters and let our guys kind of set the fourth.
Hasn't always worked out.
The bench is... Yeah, the bench has struggled to sustain those fourth quarters, of course. Eddie Johnson talks a lot about how, like, those guys aren't used to playing those long stretches of ball, and so it's kind of hard for them to finish and put the punctuation mark on those games. But I think it's kind of a situation where, like, a lot has been made about LeBron's total minute allotment over his career and how long can he keep going if he's going to play this many minutes. But, like, you look at the tracking data of – like how many miles he runs per season. And if you look at the miles to minutes ratio, it's like way in control. The dude just does not waste any steps. And I think we're seeing a lot of that same philosophy from Chris, just as far as he gets the most out of every step, it feels like.
No, that's a great point. I think the focus on Devin Booker's playmaking this season has obviously, for good reason, been focused on Devin Booker, but you have to think that also could contribute to Booker to Paul taking a load off night to night, right? And so I think that's a hope. I think if Payne can stay healthy for the remainder of the season, relatively speaking, that would help. And you're right, the other guys being able to step up and score will be a big part of that as well. I just think he's a guy who's not going to willingly just sit games. He was healthy all last season. He was healthy all the regular season before. You can't necessarily plan for shoulder separations or wrist injuries or Patrick Beverley acting like a buffoon. And I don't really think you should play scared in that way with your rotation. So I think I'm on the same side. I do think it's real, though, that we are getting a more comfortable and confident Chris Paul. This is a guy who hasn't had a year two with a team for a few years now. And so getting back into just the control that he likes to have, I think we saw it by the end of last season, and now he's even just building on it more. Do you think that part is real, that we could see an even more sort of efficient and dynamic version of Chris Paul because of that?
Yeah, he just looks so comfortable. And to your point about this being his second year with the team for the first time in a while, even with how the trade played out, when you sign a long-term extension like he did in the offseason, you're really telling the guys in the building that you want to be here. And what he was saying about Booker after, I think it was after they clinched the conference finals, that he was saying, this light-skinned dude right here, referring to Booker, is the reason he wanted to come here. And so I think the chemistry between those two is really starting to build.
Yeah, I think so for sure. And it's great to see. I mean, he's just, I talked about this in my recap show yesterday. He's just been so much fun to watch. I think I'm sort of settling in as a viewer too, of just sort of knowing how he fits into this group, what types of impact he's going to have, and his comfort level. All of it is just, I mean, it's been a blast. I hope it continues to be that at the very least, because I'm a selfish person and I want to be entertained. More not real or not real to come. I think you heard Damon already hinting at his DeAndre Ayton take there, if you were listening closely enough. So we'll start there in the next segment. First, though, quick word from Calm. Do you want to know what makes LeBron James King James, handling all those minutes we were just talking about? Well, it's sleep. That's right. Sleep is his superpower. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you activate the power of sleep. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle, but you don't have to be a world champion to learn how to train it. Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, reduce your stress, and perform at your best, just like the king. For LeBron, sleep is a critical part of his mental fitness routine. As he says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. From the sound of rain falling on leaves to bedtime sleep stories, Calm puts me to sleep within minutes, which means I wake up ready for any challenge. So if you had to, I would say except for beating the Suns in the first round of the playoffs. I have to give that exception to the rule, but generally speaking, he's ready for any challenge. If you have to face the Suns in the first round of the playoffs, maybe go away from Calm. But considering none of you have to worry about that, you're going to go to calm.com/lockedonNBA for a limited time to get 40% off a Calm premium subscription. Again, for limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm and get a 40% discount on a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. That's calm.com/lockedonNBA. We all love Thanksgiving food. We all love this time of year, especially if you live in the Valley and it's finally cooling down. But what you don't love is getting overly stuffed, maybe gaining a few pounds during the holiday season. That's no fun. Well, Built Bar is the solution. If you are craving something sweet, maybe craving something chocolatey, but you know it's not a good idea to dip back into the candy, dip back into the desserts, Built Bar can help you hold over between meals. Maybe you're craving a coconut cream pie or a raspberry rhubarb cake and you need something better. Well, there's a coconut Built Bar, there's a raspberry Built Bar to solve your problem. One slice of pie, let's say, has over 300 calories on the low end, but most Built Bars are only 130 calories. So you see where I'm going. Built is a great option for when you're hungry. If Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, go for a Built Bar or two. Share some at your family gatherings. Make things less awkward. Maybe it's the excuse of I can bring something without knowing how to cook. There's new surprises coming all month at Built.com, and there's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. So mark your calendar and check back every single day. When you make your purchase at Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's not first order, that's next order. So restock for the holidays using the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Real or not real, Damon, starting things off here with a bang. You were tweeting about this. I already have a hunch as to your thoughts, but the statement that we are going to determine the reality of, the Suns do not need DeAndre Ayton. Get your cannons out, get fire, whatever, flamethrowers out, and we'll see where this goes. The Suns' record with DeAndre Ayton this season, 3-3, 7-0 without him. I'm not going to read too much into that. It is just a fact. You were clipping some clips of the lack of offensive gravity and attention that DeAndre Ayton gets. We were apparently going through the ringer of DA versus Cat debate for the 950,000th time as Suns fans, despite no connection between the Timberwolves and Suns in any sort of trade ever. Where do you land? Do the Suns need DeAndre Ayton? Did this stretch without him prove anything? How are you feeling?
Well, just to be clear, it is not any sort of slight against Ayton, just a slight against the prospect of giving him a max contract.
Fair.
Because, frankly, he does not play well enough offensively to warrant a max contract. So if we want to do one real or not real regarding Ayton, there's this one. Frank Kaminsky would be better offensively in the playoffs than DeAndre Ayton, real or not real. Strictly offensively.
I think not real. I think
All right.
not real.
And why
I think
is that?
Not real because Well, he's not as good of an offensive rebounder. Not that that's the biggest skill in the world, but I think he's not quite as good at the things that Ayton is good at, which are finishing, screening, rolling, and offensive rebounding. But he's also not better enough at the things that he's good at to make the switch out work. Now, I obviously agree when you factor in the salary, there's more of a conversation because you can get a guy like Kaminsky on a minimum. So that's always been the debate with Ayton. That's the debate about taking him first overall. But I don't feel like he's not a consistent enough shooter. He's not an elite enough playmaker. I think when you really stretch Kaminsky out over a full series, you're probably looking at a relatively neutral offensive player. Like, he's not going to kill you, but he's not really going to like bring a ton of value. And I would say that Ayton, in a situation built around his skill set, which the Suns did their best to do last postseason, he's at least maybe slightly above average just because he's elite at what he does well. That's my take. But do you disagree? Do you think Kaminsky would actually be better in a playoff setting than Ayton on offense?
Well, so with the definition of better, it depends on what you're looking for. Sure. Because one of the more important threads I was following in that series of clips I was posting today is Ayton just has a hard time bringing anything to the table offensively that isn't centered around screening.
Sure.
Whereas with a guy like Kaminsky, you can spot him up in the corner. You can have him hit trailer threes.
Yeah.
You can have him play make out of the nail. You can have him play make out of the short roll, or just so many different things that he can do. And so I think defenses would have to prepare a lot more, not prepare more for Kaminsky, but prepare for more different possible sure. actions that the Suns could run through
him. The offense is more dynamic.
And so I think that, yeah, exactly. And so I don't know if that results in more points every single time, but I just know that my own personal philosophy of how you want to build an offense, you want to be able to attack from a lot of different ways. And Ayton just cannot do that right now.
The thing you pointed out that I think might be the biggest disappointment just relative to what we saw out of him in college and what I actually expected to translate, there was a lot of excessive expectation on Ayton coming out of college, which is I think why the narrative around him being the number one overall pick built out so suddenly back then. I never expected him to be this elite shot creator despite what some people said. What I did think he would be able to do is to be a pretty solid passer. I thought that was going to be pretty promising. And you posted some clips about, you know, JaVale making a few interesting passes from the elbow in some of the Suns' elbow sets that they love to run that we don't see Ayton make. And I think that's an area where it is a translation that I thought would happen. And so that makes me more disappointed in the fact that it hasn't done that. And so I think you talk about Kaminsky and even Dario Saric, even Aaron Baines, who we saw once upon a time, we had this sort of same debate about where he was able to stretch the floor. He was able to, you know, be a little bit of a smarter, higher IQ offensive player. And the Suns had a similar run like this during Ayton's suspension. So I think it's a reasonable question. I would say on my initial real or not real, the Suns don't need DeAndre Ayton. I think that's not real, especially because we're really only talking about the offensive side of the floor right now. But of course, defensively, they don't really have somebody who is as good as him, who is as disciplined and versatile as he is on defense. So obviously they need him to be elite, maybe not long term, but at least this season they don't have a player to replace him. What do you think?
Yeah, to your point, I think Ayton is one of the only players on the team to have a negative assist to turnover ratio. He's at 1.1 assists and 1.4 turnovers. And so I think that plays a factor for sure.
Yeah, not good. We are we're going to have to go rapid fire in this next segment. I'm looking forward to it. I will open the floor up to you to give your first real or not real of the episode, Damon. But first, a quick word from betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports, and they're back and better than ever with a new web interface, which means you can get all of the odds, props, and lines that you could ever dream up all in one place, easier and quicker than ever before. So head to that new updated website or their mobile app, sign up today, and when you do, use the promo code LOCKEDON when you make your first deposit to get a 50% welcome bonus. That's promo code Locked On when you make your first deposit to get a 50% welcome bonus straight to your account. From basketball and football to the NHL, boxing, and UFC, even to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available at betonline.ag for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, Damon, real or not real, continuing here. Thanks for making Locked On Suns your first listen every single day, folks. We do stuff like this. We recap games. We get you updated on the news, all of it. Do not miss an episode, but we have a few moments left, so I will give the floor to you, like I said, Damon. Go for it. What is your real or not real that is on your mind?
Okay, so I've got two of them. One is more serious, having to do with Tucker. And then there's a more kind of funny
one. Okay, we'll do them both, but let's start with Booker, because I had one on Booker, too. I'll see if how similar it was.
Okay, sweet. So through the 13 games that the Suns have played, Booker is currently the third leading rebounder on this team at 6 rebounds per game, behind, of course, Ayton and JaVale McGee. Real or not real, Devin Booker's the third best rebounder in this rotation.
So the way that I phrased it was, is the evolution of Devin Booker real or not real? Because that is something that I actually noticed just going back through his sort of raw counting stats also, was that his rebounding is way up, just total rebounds, obviously rebound rate, all of it. But also, we talked about a minute ago, the assist rate is up, the three-point attempts per game up, efficiency down, which I don't think is an evolution. I wouldn't describe missing shots as something you intentionally evolve into, but we've seen a new form of him so far. I think the rebounding speaks to, I don't remember, I did that 13 question series. I know you were on for one. I don't think we talked about Booker a ton, but I think it might have been Max McCauley, where it was just this idea of, like, you kind of know it when you see it, of a player exerting his control over every minute of a game. And that's sort of that last incredibly difficult thing to do as a superstar player in the NBA. I don't think he's there yet, but I think that's sort of what I think of when I see the rebounds going up, is I'm going to grab the ball and just take it up the floor. I'm, you know, freelancing a little bit and doing whatever, because my instincts have grown after 7 years in the NBA and I kind of know what I'm doing. So I don't know if the rebounding will stay third on the team, but I do think that sort of comfort and control over the game, partially because Chris Paul is allowing that for him, is real. I think that part is real, and I think he'll start to make shots naturally, and I think we could see a better season maybe than we've ever seen before out of him.
Yeah, it goes back to the Olympics for me, too. Yeah. Like, when he got to the Olympics, he just became so much more of a well-rounded, complete player that was doing more than just scoring. He's defending his butt off. He's rebounding. He's getting assists. He's getting steals and blocks. Like, this is the most complete Booker we've ever seen, I think. And I think it's only going to grow even more. And I think that the efficiency is coming back to the normal after a bit of a rough start, coming back from COVID and all that. So I think he's turning into the most complete version of himself that we've seen so far.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Olympic Book is a thing. We all were noticing it in real time. It's cool that it is actually translated in ways that we can see. And I think that that experience will be invaluable to him. I mean, we've always known that he's just sort of this guy who goes out there and does what it takes to win. But when he was on a bad team, what it took to get anywhere near a win was him taking as many shots as he possibly could and dribbling the crap out of the ball. Now he's able to adjust a little bit. He had a full offseason to think about things, to work on those skills, and, you know, reevaluate how he was going to operate on this team. And I think we're seeing that. So I think that definitely is real. I'll do my last one, and then we can do your fun one to close things out. So this one is obviously worded in a ridiculous way, but it is real or not real. Cam Johnson is useless now. I think clearly we're going to not agree with that completely, but he's been a player that I've been surprised how much Suns fans have developed an animosity toward so far this season. He's shooting 32% from deep this year, just 13 assists in 284 minutes. So really what that shows is when he's not making threes, he's not the most valuable offensive player. I mean, he hasn't really built out that skill set very much. He kind of started the season with a more balanced shot chart, but really now It's just mostly threes, and again, they're not going in. The advanced defensive metrics I talked about in yesterday's show, recapping the Wolves win where he didn't look too good. The advanced defensive metrics have hated him this year. He's one of the worst Suns from, you know, a defensive box plus minus and all those types of numbers perspective. And then even on off, the offense has been 14 points worse per 100 possessions when he's on the floor. So you really can't look at it from any angle and try to make the case that Cam Johnson has had a good season, but I don't think it's been just atrocious, and this team is still winning in spite of that. So what have you made of his season, and where do you come down on the online debate about this young man?
Yeah, anyone who's trashing him can come find me. Like, he's amazing still. Like, obviously it's been a rough start, but I'm not gonna turn my back on him yet. He has had some moments here and there where he's looked a little bit overwhelmed, a little bit of deer in the headlights kind of look on his face. But I think that it's all gonna come together for him. I think any online animosity toward him kind of comes from a sort of expectation some people might have had that he will assert himself above Jay Crowder in that starting power forward spot. But I think it was really like a 50-50 proposition coming in.
Still could happen.
And so I mean, for the him to not,
young. Yeah,
it still could happen. And like, there's plenty of time for things to develop. And, you know, goodness forbid we see an injury or two, but like, Cam's going to be okay. Like, he's not the 10th or 11th best player on this team. He's still the 6th or 7th best player to me.
Yeah, agreed. I think, let me ask it to you this way, though, because I did see some pushback. I tweeted, you know, Suns fans might need a reminder that he shot like 40-something percent in the postseason last year and was awesome. And that's the reason all this momentum was on him coming into this season, was how well he played, especially in the last two rounds of the postseason. But I saw some people saying, well, I was told he was going to be this sort of Joe Harris, Duncan Robinson type of shooter. I think that's a little unfair, because even if you look at his college numbers, they were not like, you know, 48%. They were more like 40% from deep. But what do you think of that? Because we are, you know, 2+ years in now to the Cam Johnson experience. He's almost at 750 three-point attempts in the NBA, and he's, for better or worse, been slightly above average, slightly below average, give or take. That's not the, like, game-changing shooter that maybe we thought he could be. What do you make of that? Is it real that he's maybe a good shooter rather than a great shooter?
For now, I think so, yeah. And as far as people wanting to hold someone to their highest possible outcome, like, if you go into every single team like that, you're just going to have a bad time in the NBA. People don't always reach their highest possible outcomes, and that's okay. Cam's still been a really solid role player for this team. And even this season, I don't think he's been like such a negative to the team that they fall apart when he's out there. So I just think people need to have more patience with it, to be honest.
He's playing 20+ minutes a game when they're 10-3. So there's only so much really nitpicking you can have when that's the case. And I will say, for people disappointed that both Cam Johnson and Devin Booker might be like relatively disappointing shooters, just not being like holy crap elite, Mikal Bridges has basically hit the absolute high point of what we thought he could be as a shooter. So it does balance out. And yes, have some patience. We'll see what Cam becomes. He's not even finished with his rookie contract yet. The expectations are high because this is a finals team, but this is a player who's still developing, even if he is old enough to be like my dad, potentially. Let me close out here with your last real or not real that you had. You said it was a little bit on the silly end. I'm ready to hear it.
All right, so the Suns have a quick little two-game series coming up against the Dallas Mavericks, and it was reported earlier today that Luka Doncic is going to miss the first game, at least, with a sprained ankle. In his career, Luka is 3-8 against the Suns. The worst record he has against anyone, or the second worst record he has against anyone, and the only thing worse is on 7 games fewer of a sample size. So, real or not real, Luka is dodging the Suns.
Dodging the Suns and choking against the Suns and scared of the Suns, all of the above. Yes, he can't handle the pressure. He is a fraud. He is completely in over his head. He's never won anything except for a Eurobasket title. and I guess the Spanish
and
league,
a Euroleague,
yes, the Euroleague title too. So aside from all the stuff that he's won, he's never won anything. No, I honestly, I might have to bleep the few times that we've said the name. We don't do that anymore on this podcast. I had to swear that off at a certain point because, look, my Apple Podcast ratings were suffering from talking about this guy too much. People do not like it, but it is all fun and games now, I guess, because he's not winning.
3-8
he's not winning against the Suns. And look, they made the finals. And where has he been? He's been to the first round a couple times. So maybe we're back in the clear. No, I think
we can beat the Clippers. He should try to beat the Clippers.
He should focus on beating the team that's completely swamped him twice instead of worrying about the Suns. Honestly, forget the 3-8. He's got an 0-2 mark against the team that matters. No, I think the Luka stuff is actually really interesting. I think it's always been really fun games. We've had some of my favorite Suns memories from the past couple seasons are the Devin Booker buzzer beater against them last year in the regular season at the end of January after he came back from the injury, and the road trip where DeAndre Ayton started being like, okay, maybe he's a real player, was last January, February of 2020 before the shutdown. So I'm really disappointed that Luka's not going to play in these games, especially because I will be at them and I would have liked to see a better game, but a win's a win. I'm sure the Suns won't complain. I do think, though, he timed it. He got injured on purpose so he didn't have to play these games. I think you're right.
Absolutely.
What do you make of it? What do you think of this budding sort of rivalry weirdness? Are you past talking about it? Does it still get you riled up? How do you feel?
I mean, I was one of the more vocal people I could remember at the time calling for Luka to be the pick, but I mean, I moved past it pretty quick. I'm sure there are still a lot of people that are hung up on it. But I feel for the guy. He's being coached by Jason Kidd right now, and that can't be fun. So I feel for the guy.
You know who is really the winner of the whole situation is Igor Kokoschkov. He is back in the NBA. He is sitting on that bench. He has to have thought a time or two, like, if this whole J. Kidd thing doesn't work out, like, they might see the light and reconnect us. Like, you know he's at least thought about
it. Just bring the whole Slovenia team together.
Trade for Dragic. Let's do it.
Bring the younger Dragic as well.
Yes, exactly.
Just all the guys you can get from that team.
I just completely agree. I don't like Kristaps Porzingis. I don't like Jason Kidd. I do like watching Luka Doncic play, and I would like for him to be better than he has been. Not that that's all on his teammates, but we'll see. I think for Suns purposes, them having an easier path to 12-3 probably feels a lot better than continuing this fake rivalry that really has never even had a meaningful game in it. So I'm excited. I think
Utah is the real rivalry.
Yes, there you go. I think it'll be a fun one though. Any last thoughts here? Any last real or not reals you got to get off your chest before we close?
Quick knee-jerk reaction. How long does the winning streak go?
I think they'll lose to Denver on Sunday. That's my guess. So,
and at 11?
That would be 11. Games? Although, I mean, clearly I'm not rooting for that. I just think Denver, I just think Denver's always been such a tough test.
They hate us.
They get so pissed off. Will Barton's playing out of his mind, although I think Michael Porter Jr. is hurt right now. So if he doesn't play, I might alter my expectations a little bit. But
I mean, what's new?
Yeah, what's new? Him not playing. Exactly, yeah. He's the one dodging every team in the NBA and getting paid anyway, so we'll see how that continues. But all right, that closes us out, guys. A little Mavs talk to get you ready for tonight's game. Enjoy your Wednesday. I'll be back right here post-game to recap it for you as we continue with another week of the show. And looking forward to it. Talk to you guys then.